Good morning. When I was younger, about 10 or 12 years old, I remember this one Christmas where it felt like there wasn't enough food, and it must have been a week or two before Christmas, and two or three people showed up at our door with full boxes. And I just remember thinking, wow, we are gonna have a good Christmas. We'd have food to eat, we'd have some gifts to open, and I just remember being so hopeful and thinking there has to be a God out there that loves us this much. And I just wanted to share that, you know, in case some people are thinking I don't have enough to give towards the Champlain Happers. Anything you give is going to make an impact. And I thought maybe we could take this idea of sharing hope. And I love how Apostle said last week, our love is demonstrated in our giving. So let's love well this Christmas. Thank you.
Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The psalmist says, I was glad when it said, when we come to the house of the Lord, if you're glad to be in his presence, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, are you excited to be in his presence this morning? Amen.
Thank you, we thank you, Lord, thank you.
We are saved.
Oh, Surely, Father, your goodness is running after us and overtaking us. We bless your magnificent name this day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. We surrender our lives to you. We worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your everlasting gift, even the gift of our elder brother, your first and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, our comforter. We thank you for all of the giftings. Your charismatic gifts, operational in our midst, in our world. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that we are the redeemed, the forgiven, the healed, the delivered, the set free ones. For your truth has established us in righteousness. We are upheld with your right hand. This day we live not in fear, for you have not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of your love, your power, and a mature, disciplined, sound mind. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us participants in the reality of being that which you call the good and perfect gift that proceeded from you, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of your own will you begat us. You lead us by your Spirit, and we this day can say we are sons of the Most High, co-heirs, joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, receive our adoration, our expression of thanksgiving. And Father, speak to us today. Help us to come to the realization of who we are in you as you reveal yourself to us, and we have been changed and transformed into that image. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a song that is ringing in my spirit this morning. It's called "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in This Place." If you know it, I'd like you to sing it with me. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Sing it one more time. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Yes, this is our testimony. This is our declaration. For Your word says, where two or three are gathered together in Your name, there You are in the midst of them. We have come into this place, gathered in Your name to worship You. We have come into this house, gathered in Your name to worship You. We have come into this place, gathered in Your name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Did you come to worship Him this morning? I will ask again, did you come to worship Him this morning? I'll ask it third time. Did you come to worship the Lord today? Then sing it with me. We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Him. Hallelujah. We have come into this place, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Lord, receive our worship and do extraordinary things in us and with us this day. We declare and decree so in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before this step down, You may be seated for a quick moment. We're going to sing one more song, whatever song you decide to sing. This last Friday, we had a prayer meeting here, as we do every Friday. And as we sought the face of the Lord and how He will direct us to pray, one of the things He led us to pray about was to destroy altars. And as we were praying about those altars that we were destroying, the Lord said, there is an altar here that needs to be destroyed. That was a shocker to me right away, because we've been here for many years and He's never talked about that in these terms. And He said that when this facility was first built, it was built by people that were Rosicrucians, and it was dedicated at that time when it was built in that spirit. Rosicrucians are an occultic group, and he said you need to destroy the Rosicrucians, and the Masons are sister groups and Shriners. They're all the same. He says destroy those altars. So we prayed and we destroyed those altars. And then He said, now establish My altar. So we declared the establishment of the altar of the Lord. And He said, now bring Me an offering. So we brought an offering. And this morning, I want you to bring an offering to the Lord, to this altar that is reestablished, the altar of the Lord. I want you to bring your offering at this time and concentrate it unto the Lord, that the blessing of the Lord will come upon your giving and My giving like never before. It is a fresh start in very real terms. So just come and release your offering. Give it unto the Lord. Give faithfully unto the Lord and let the Lord bless it.
Holy, you are holy. Father, we say you are holy. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration. Let our thanksgiving and our praise be all acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Well, good day, everybody. It's that time we pray. Let us rise and pray and give thanks to our family. Father, we thank you, God, for another wonderful day you've given to us. We appreciate you. We bless your holy name. We commit our day to you, O God. Thank you for all our children, all our biological, spiritual children, extended families and partners, and all those who stand in this altar and those hearing the sound of my voice. Father, minister grace to all your children in the mighty name of Jesus. Children from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life we commit into your hand. We say the Lord reign over all our lives. Jesus, you are Lord. May your name be magnified and glorified through our lives. Touch every life here. Heal your people. Restore them. Make them whole. Help the children as they learn, may they grow in you and grow in the things of God. And while they're in school, help them with their schoolwork. And Lord, help them in their career, help them in their businesses, and in their job, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as parents, help them to raise their children in a godly way, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bless you, children. Live quietly because prayer is still going on. Father, we continue to thank you for your Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our hearts, into this church, into our homes, our neighborhood, our city, and our nation. Have your way in this service this morning. Touch every life here. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 50. 29 verses, so you have to catch up. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Somebody shout hallelujah. A God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Somebody shout hallelujah. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I'll speak. One moment, my stuff went on. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee, I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. Verse 9, open your mouth and read the word of the Lord. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 13, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Somebody shout another hallelujah. Verse 16, but unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do, declare my statutes, or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thy own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whosoever offereth praise, glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. There are 23 verses. I think I said 29. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's do verse 23 again. I wasn't hearing your voices. Whosoever offereth praise, glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. If you were worshiping and praising God this morning, you weren't doing it for anybody. You weren't doing it to know how well you can sing, but you're just praising the living God. May your voice count when people are praising God. May you learn to open your voice and praise His holy name. Rise with me and let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come to a spiritual place. We come to a holy hill. We come to the Mount of God. We've come to Mount Zion. We come to the place where your presence dwells. Father, we glorify your holy name. Be magnified and glorified forevermore. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that you have put your word in our mouth and we can praise your holy name. Father, we magnify your name. Be thou lifted higher and higher and higher and higher and higher above the heavens, because your word says even you have to bow yourself down, bend yourself down to hear. So you live in a different dimension beyond the heavens, so that from that dimension you can hear us this morning. Father, we glorify your holy name. We feel privileged to even say bless the name of the Lord. It said even the wicked to even open their mouth to have your word in their mouth. Oh God, we thank you that you've given us a mouth to praise you. Father, we bless your holy name. We are not the people that you tear apart, but we are the people you build up. We are the people that you've drawn to yourself. Father, we draw ourselves to you this morning. May your name be glorified. Are you praying? Are you opening your mouth and giving him praise? May your name be exalted forevermore. We greatly appreciate you. We thank you for this life you've given to us. You've given us a short space in earth to praise you. But Lord, this time may it not be wasted. As we lift you up, may our praise count. Adoration count. Father, we glorify your name forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For eons and eons and beyond ages, beyond infinity. Father, we be glorified forever. Beyond eternity, we bless your holy name. Father, may your name be exalted. Who is like unto you, O God? Who can heal and restore and make whole? Who raised the dead? Who quickened the things that are dead and bring them alive? Who is like unto you, Almighty God? Who makes something the art of nothing. But that nothing is not nothing. It is you yourself. You've given yourself to us in all dimensions. We appreciate you this morning. Thank you for our life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. A zillion thank you. Beyond the word zillions, we thank you and we praise you. We shout hallelujah to the King of Glory. Can you shout hallelujah? Because there's no word to describe his goodness, his faithfulness, his mercy that are new every morning. The mercies of David, the mercies of David, the Bartimaeus cries, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And yet you give us mercy every day. You give us mercy even when we don't ask. Every morning, they are new every morning. Oh, great is your faithfulness. We receive mercy for our family, for our household, for our lives, for our ministry, for our businesses, for our church, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren, for our parents, for all that you've given to us. We give you praise and we thank you. We receive mercy for our nation in the mighty name of Jesus. Be magnified forevermore. Even things we are not aware of, we receive mercy for them. Have mercy, O God, upon every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Prosperity to her palaces. Father, you reign forever and ever. Your word is a sure guarantee. What you have spoken concerning Israel, you shall make manifest. Your promises are yes and amen. They never fail. Hallelujah to the King of Glory. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you that you are manifesting your glory now upon the nation of Israel. And so are you doing upon Canada, upon Nigeria, upon United States of America, upon Bolivia, upon Colombia, upon Mexico, upon all the islands of the seas and all First Nations of the earth. You are touching lives. And wherever someone is calling the name of the Lord this morning, you are hearing and you are answering. Your words say, call upon me in the time of trouble and you will answer. All troubled nations now, let someone begin to call upon the name of the Lord from the furthest land, from the closest land, from north to south, east to west, and central of all nations and continents. Let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way in this service this morning. Heal every sick. Heal the lame. Heal the broken. Heal those that are, heal their finances. Heal their health. Heal their bodies. Heal their families. Heal their words. Heal their mind. Heal every single part of their body, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. We declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You reign over their bodies, over their spirit and soul, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we declare, be healed, be restored, be made whole in every area of your lives. Father, we receive from you. There's more than enough, more than enough of your goodness in our lives. Lord, let everyone hear the word of the Lord this morning. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, testimonies, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name, bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and may your name be glorified forevermore. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Where's your treasures, child of God? It is where your heart is. Most banks today will tell you how you spent your money. Every month, they'll tell you what's most important to you. Even on your phone, they'll tell you how much screen time you had that week. Compare it with how much time you've spent with God. Learn, as a son and a daughter of God, to not let any hour pass without you just reflecting on the Lord. Say, thank you, Father. It's not that you prayed for 50 minutes. Your prayer may have been 2 minutes, but you're praying every hour. To God, how am I going to be able to do that? Let the alarm clock go off every hour and say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you for life. What do you have to say to me today? You're giving into treasures. Your heart is with the Father. Commune with God often. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you something that you've heard most recently when we had our special meetings. There was a word, I believe it was on the last day, about the seven blessings of the Lord. How many of you remember that? About a few days after that meeting, I was in a dream and I was re-preaching that message. I woke up, I said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, I want you to go back to that message. I want you to work through that particular message. I want my people to know I want them blessed. I want it to be so settled within them that there's no separation of that blessing from them. Amen. So that's what we're going to start doing today. I wondered when he was going to release me to do it. And today is the day that we start on that particular subject. So come with me to the book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to take it from verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. What's the statement? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. That work and labor of love was shown towards his name. How did it happen? In that ye have ministered to the saints. When you minister to the saints, when you serve the saints, he says, you were working and doing the labor of love. He says, you minister to the saints and do minister. Now, let's look at this statement. Forget not the work and the labor of love. The work of love is that which you are doing right now. You're just doing it. The labor of love is when it's difficult for you to do it because the people that you're trying to do it for are not making it easy for you. Are you with me? So he says, in that you have ministered to the saints, you've done it, and do minister. And do minister is that laboring aspect. When you're trying to do what you need to do, but they're doing crazy stuff, that one says, I just give up on this. But you continued in spite of. That's the demonstration of the love of God. Has anyone ever been in that place when you're trying to do the loving thing and the person you're trying to do it for and to is making it difficult for you to do it, but you kept at it just to do it? Well, God says, I've not forgotten. I was watching you, and I've not forgotten. I'm not unrighteous. He says in verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. There is a reward. That demonstration of love, there is a reward attached to it. And my desire is this, that every one of you show the same diligence, the same faithfulness, the same commitment to the full assurance of hope unto the end. What hope? That God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, those who diligently are serving, ministering, empowering others to succeed. Since God is watching that. And then it says in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Here the word of God teaches us that it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. Why is God reinforcing that statement? Because sometimes doing the right thing is not easy. You have to have a commitment to know what the right thing is and be faithfully doing it. Because there are enough forces that want you to not do the right thing. There are enough forces that may allow you to do the right thing for a short season and give up. But God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God rewards consistency, continuity. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, listen to that statement. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But where do you get the truth? When you continue. You don't walk in truth if you are not continuing. Truth does not just jump on you because you started. Truth comes. The revelation of truth comes to you when you continue. The blessing, the promises of God manifest themselves when you continue. Too many of us want to do just the 100 dash. Yes, there's a place for that. But it is a marathon, the things of God. It's a marathon. You got to continue. You got to push through. And pushing through means that sometimes the challenge is so tough on you that you just want to quit. But take the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and you find that you are going on in spite of. He says, for when God made promise to Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Why is God swearing? Because God knew that having made that promise, he's going to bring it to pass, but that there's going to be a time difference from the time he said it to the time it was going to get manifested. So God swore by himself so that he knew. I'm not swearing by your wimpishness. I'm swearing by the integrity of me, the God who created all things, who holds all of these things together, that what I said I'm going to do. So he says in verse 14, surely bless him. I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. Surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Watch this. After he had patiently endured. Someone say endured. Say it again, endured. One more time, endured. That means he pressed through. You endure because everything about you says quit. The circumstances around you says quit. This is not going to happen. You are too old. You cannot have this child that God promised you. It is too late. Your wife is totally barren. It's not going to happen. He says he patiently endured. Then he obtained the promise. What promise? The promise of the blessing. God saying, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. I want to say to you today that whatever it is God has promised you, even if you've not seen it yet, it does not mean it is not going to be made manifest. There comes a time when God says, the enemies that you see today, you shall see no more. And while you're looking, they are still coming. You've crossed your Red Sea, and they are in the same Red Sea. And all you can think is, if we crossed it, they can also cross it. Hello? Is somebody listening? If we cross this Red Sea, and they are in the same Red Sea that we just crossed, what is going to stop them from crossing? God. Somebody say God. The enemies that you see today, you shall see no more. It is a matter of ticking seconds, nanoseconds. One moment, the problem is there and it's about to claw down on you. And the next moment, where did it go? What happened? Well, what happened is that God happened to that particular situation. He said he was going to do something and he will not fail you. Hallelujah. God will not fail me. God will not fail you. God cannot be stopped. When he's on the move, he's on the move. And how dare anything stand in his way? It will be run over. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we know that the blessing of God is a guarantee. That blessing is in Christ Jesus. He's made it possible for us to be positioned and aligned to receive the blessings. But the Word of God is saying to us that the blessing of the Lord comes when we are willing to endure, when we are willing to be patient. The blessing of the Lord is not fast food. It is properly cooked. It's a delicacy. And delicacies don't come fast. God has promised you, and he will bring it to pass. Amen? The blessing of the Lord. The Word of God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. We have learned that the blessing or the promise of God comes because we endure and we are patient and we continue. Now in Deuteronomy 28, it says, and it shall come to pass. And it shall what? Come to pass. That gives you a hint. That it shall come to pass means it shall come to pass. It will happen. When it happens and how it happens is determined by the sovereign will of God. But what you need to know is that it's going to happen. It will come to pass. If, someone say if.
Yeah.
That's one two-letter word that is so big. If, it's a qualifier. If thou shalt hearken diligently. Somebody say, hearken diligently. That means to hearken consistently. To stay focused unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Unto the voice of the Lord thy God. To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. He says, I want you to know this. If you stick with me and you're listening to my words, you're watching those words, you're observing it, and you are doing what I've commanded you to do. He says, I am going to set you high above all nations of the earth. I'm going to take you and put you at the highest place. Other nations may be high, but I'm going to take you and set you high above all nations. And when I set you on this high place, watch this. When I set you on this high place, my blessing shall come on thee. The blessing of God does not come on you when you are in the low level. When you're thinking Lodiba, when you're thinking and living at the bottom, God takes you from that low place, places you on a high place, and then releases the blessings on you. Say with me, Father, I humble myself before you so that you can exalt me. Because the lifting up of the Lord happens because you are not walking in pride and in arrogance. You humble yourself and he will lift you up. He says, when you obey my word, recognizing that I am not just your God, I am your Lord. He says, I'm going to elevate you. And the blessings, my blessings, are going to come on thee, and they are going to what? Overtake thee. It is from that particular verse that we got the statement, the overtaking blessing. This is a blessing that runs after you and overtakes you. This is a blessing that overwhelms every other issue in your life. so that no matter what the enemy throws at you, it is consumed by the presence of the blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The blessing that overtakes is a blessing that comes upon you and I when we recognize that God is sovereign and Lord over our lives, that God as Lord has ownership of our lives. Does God have ownership of you? If He does, are you following Him consistently? That is a question that we need to ask. Because the blessing of the Lord comes upon those that are consistent and those that have been elevated because they are humble in the sight of God. This is the overtaking blessing. The Word of God continues and tells us, begins to describe some of these overtaking blessings that come upon us. It says, you're going to be blessed in the city and you're going to be blessed in the field. In essence, it doesn't matter where you are. It is not the location that determines the blessing in terms of, oh, you are in a wealthy part of the city or you are in a poor part of the city. It says it doesn't matter because the blessing is what makes you the blessed. You take a blessed man and put him in the poorest place, and the blessing on him will transform the place where he is at. Because the blessing of the Lord is the absence of the curse. The blessing of the Lord is the absence of the curse. Will you say that with me? In essence, a blessed man is not a cursed man. And if the man is blessed, you cannot curse him. Amen? Because the blessing consumes the curse. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord on your life will consume the curse. Throw as much curse as you want against the blessed man, and it will eat it up and still remain the blessed. Hallelujah. Please hear what I'm saying to you. Because the blessed man is in Christ Jesus. The blessed man is continuing with the word of truth. So the blessed man is not consumed by the curse because he is continuing in the truth of God. And no matter what lies you're speaking, the lies are deflected and eradicated because he knows who he is. He is in Christ Jesus. He is in the truth. And all iniquities are purged by the mercies of God and by the truth of God. Are you hearing? So the blessed man, when you release a curse at him, says, well, not for me. I draw on the mercies of God. The precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Even if a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. I'm getting back up because of the mercies of God. I am not part of that evil. I may have done something wrong, but I stand here this day in the righteousness of the living God who has not forgotten the operation of love towards him and towards his people. Hello? Remember where we started from? That God has not forgotten? He says, you're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. the flocks of thy sheep. One sheep, flocks. Are you with me? God is saying, everything about you, your body is blessed. Your ground is blessed. Your business, blessed. Everything about you is blessed. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Your pocket is blessed. Your bank account is blessed. Your investments are blessed. Everything that you do is blessed. If you don't have the basket, you're still blessed. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Go back to verse 3. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy, what? Basket and thy store. If it's only a basket you got, it's going to be blessed. If you've got a store, it's going to be blessed. Everything about you is blessed. Based on what? You understand that I am Lord and God over your life, and you are following the instructions I give you. It is not about working hard, it's about working blessed. Amen? Work blessed. Not work hard. Work blessed. It says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. When you come, you are blessed. When you go out, you're blessed. Wow. How does this happen? The word of God tells us, it says, that he is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice, that he is the door, and that when we come in into him, and when we go out, we will find green pastures. But for you to have green pastures in the in and in the out, you've got to go in first. You got to go in first. When you go into him and you come out of him, whether you are in church or outside the church, in your house or outside your house, God says, you are the blessed. You're under the covering of the blessed. Why? Because you are obedient to his calling and his directives. You are listening as the sheep of his flock. Bless in your going out and in your coming in. It says the Lord is going to do something for you. It says the Lord is going to cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Anybody that rises against you because you are the blessed of the Lord, it says, I'm going to slap them. I'm going to knock them down. Hallelujah. He says they shall come against you one way, but they're going to flee before you in seven directions. They come one way and they have a split in seven directions. You're still standing. They came against you and you're standing, knowing that you are in him, and all of a sudden, phoop, they're going in every direction. God did not stop them from coming. He stopped them because of the blessing on your life from touching. Did you hear that? He didn't stop them from coming. He just stopped them from touching you. They're running all over the place, but you are under the canopy of the blessing of the Lord. He says, the Lord will command. his blessings upon you in thy storehouses. Somebody says storehouses. Say it again, storehouses. One more time, storehouses. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. Your storehouse is because you have many streams of income. You have many things that are positioned. Last week we talked about the man who in his own ability built and he had plenteous bumper crop and says, what am I going to do? I'm going to build me bigger barns. But he was not rich towards God. And that night, God says to him, today you're going to die. God is not against storehouses. God is not against bigger barns. God is not against you having resources available. What God is against is that you are not a person who is rich towards God because you are a giver. That's what God is against. And when you seek the blessing of the Lord and you're seeking the blessing of the Lord just to consume it for yourself, God is against that. God will blow on that and scatter it. His word says that you gather, I'll scatter it. You put it together, I scatter it. You gather some more, I scatter it. But God will not scatter anything when you are rich towards him, because he now releases his treasures upon your life. He speaks a commanded blessing into your storehouses. This commanded blessing is because you are walking in the spirit of unity. In Psalm 133, the word of God says to us, it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And by the time we come to the last verse, it talks about the blessing of God, the anointing of God that's on Mount Hermon. It says, for there God commanded his blessings, even life forevermore. The commanded blessing of God comes upon a people that are walking in the spirit of unity, loving one another, loving and serving, ministering to the saints, and do so. They work and they labor. When you find yourself laboring to do the right thing, don't complain. Just remember, it's a setup for the blessing and the manifestation of the promise of God for your life. Let me say that again. When it's tedious for you to do the right thing because there are challenges and making it difficult for you to do the right thing, celebrate because it's set up. Because God says, those that are working and laboring in love, they are the ones who participate in the manifestation of these promises, and those promises are the blessings of God that come upon your life. Hallelujah. God is interested in blessing us. And what we're talking about today is about how that blessing becomes a manifested entity, a production of God's goodness in your life and in my life. The blessing, yes, it is the absence of the curse, but it's also the empowering grace of God that causes you to know good success wherever it is you are. So the blessing is not determined by the geographical point where you are, but by your spiritual alignment with the will and the word of God. When you are spiritually aligned with him and the blessing, the commanded blessing comes upon you, God first of all elevates you, not in terms of a geographical situation, but a status elevation. He elevates you in your status before Him and says, this one have I begotten. This one belongs to me. And it doesn't matter where they put you inside a pit, you're not going to stay there forever. You're coming out. Put you in Potiphar's house, and the blessing is upon you. Hallelujah. And in that blessing, the enemy comes and tries to seduce you and try to cause you to fall apart morally, but you are steadfast. And in doing the right thing, sometimes you get pushed into the wrong place. But it's all part of God's engineering. As long as you're in Potiphar's house, you may not end up in the palace. You may not. So you end up in prison. But he's still steadfast. He's continuing in the word of God, recognizing that your labor of love is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, the work of the Lord, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is this work and this labor in the Lord about? It is your love quotient. It's your love demonstration. It is a manifestation and a push of love that is coming forth out of you towards God's people. The question I must ask myself, the question you must ask yourself is this: how are you demonstrating love towards your fellow brother and fellow sister? How much love are you demonstrating? It is easy to love people that are lovable. But are you going that extra mile to love those that are not lovable? Because their attitude is off. And you fight against everything that says, don't even talk to that person. Don't even give them any attention. And you calm down and you listen and you talk with the person. God says, that's a loving thing. I know how difficult that is for you to do, but you did it. That's good. I mark it down. I'm going to reward you. The people that are of great challenge to us are there in our lives to position us for the blessing. The blessing is not always walking with people that are likable and lovable. The blessing comes from unlikely places. Let's go on. The commanded blessing. In verse 8, the commanded blessing. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8, he says, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's a place that God is giving you. He says, I'm going to bless you in that land. I'm going to make things well for you there. He says, the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways And it says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called. You are called by the name of the Lord. This is a blessing, that God's name, you are called by the name of God. He says, part of the blessing is they're going to be afraid of you because they don't understand you. They're going to be scared. What is this about this man? What is it about this woman? He says, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Do you remember the rich man that God says, thou fool? He was also plenteous in goods. So the problem is not the plenteousness of goods. It is the attitude of the heart. He did not have treasure or was not rich towards God. And so God says, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy womb, or rather, the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. I made a commitment to your fathers that I'm going to give this land to you. And that's what the Lord did. That's what God told Abraham. Now, we are called to be rich towards God. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because you have invested. Now, God reverses it. And he says, in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. You had treasure with him. Now he says, I have good treasure. You're not going to outdo me with your giving. I'm going to start giving to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I'm going to bring rain. I'm going to bring rain into thy land in his season. Notice he says, to give the rain unto thy land in what? His season, not its season. So, in God's timing, I'm going to rain on you and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I'm going to so bless you, you're going to be a lender to nations. Not a lender to a nation, he says to nations. You're going to be lending to nations. And you're not going to borrow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is speaking to the people of Israel. And we are spiritual Israel. God wants to bring you and I and his church from the place of borrowing. You know, most banks don't even want to lend to churches. Yeah? Yeah, it's very difficult to get a loan from a bank if you're a church. But this is the deal. It was never God's will for us to go borrow from them. So in a sense, they're doing us a favor. Because God intends for us to be obedient to his word. And if we're obedient to his word, there'll be no lack. But how much obedience are we displaying? When for many, giving is a chore. When God intends for us to be givers, so that there is meat in his house. Is that what it says? Yeah. He says, I want you to honor me with your tithes and your offerings so that there's meat in my house. He says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, for your sake. He says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. God has His game plan. We need to align ourselves with the game plan of God by just trusting Him and recognizing that He is for us and not against us. Hallelujah. He says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. Praise the Lord. You are going to be above only. In other words, it's not that God is restricting other people from growing or from going higher, but as they are going higher, you are going higher. In essence, they cannot catch up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me put it this way. If you assume that we live forever and your birthday was May the 6th and the other person's birthday is May the 5th or May the 4th, they will never catch up with you. You will always be older than them. That makes sense? So it is that no matter how hard they try to catch up, they will never catch up because God says you're going to be above only. You will always be described as above only. And thou shalt not be beneath, because I bless the above. Oh, let me put it this way. You remember the story of the talents? The guy that had the one, the two, and the five. And the one that had the five made another five, it became 10. And the one that had two doubled his. The one that had one buried his. And when the master came, he took the one from the one that had the one and gave it to the one that had the what? 10. Above only. God, that's why we need to be where? Above. Only. So say with me, Father, make me above only. That's the only place I want to be. Above. The Word of God says that the one that comes from above is above only. When you are born from above, you become above only. For you proceed out of the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. God wants you to have the mentality of being one who is above only. Above only. Say, Lord, make me above only. Yeah, everybody else gets blessed, but I want to be at above only. But how do I become the above only? By continuing in His word, by listening, by being that sheep that listen to His voice and the voice of a stranger they don't listen to. You don't listen to the maneuverings and the lies of the enemy. You are committed to the workings of grace in your life. He says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. He says, that's what I want you to do. Don't have any other gods before me. This is how my blessings are going to flow in your life. My overtaking blessing in Deuteronomy 28 verse 2, and my commanded blessing in verse 8. God wants his commanded blessing on our lives. But the key factor is that we have to be people that continue in his word. Not people that start and stop. We are just consistent, steadfast. Just flowing. Yes, challenges, it doesn't matter. It's winter, it doesn't matter. It is fall, it doesn't matter. It is spring, it doesn't matter. It is summer, it doesn't matter. Whatever the season, whatever the challenges, I keep on trucking. I have money in my pocket, it doesn't matter. I have lots, it doesn't matter. I have friends, it doesn't matter. Enemies, it doesn't matter. I am just following. So the word of God says back in Hebrews chapter 6 again that we are followers of those who through patience and faith inherit the promises. Rise with me. Say with me, Father, I will not be slothful. I will not be lazy. I will not hold back from following through, just like those that have been before me, who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Father, I receive the grace to push through every challenge to inherit your promises. I step in line with your word, and I thank you for the resolute grace and empowerment from your presence that enables me to be steadfast in faith, to continue in your word. Father, I receive your promises. I receive the manifold blessings that come from you. Thank you, Lord, that my status has changed. I am above only. I am marked by your name, and your blessings are released upon me. I am a walking blessing. Wherever I am blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to serve, to minister, to impact lives with your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I thank God that the word of God is clear to every one of us, and that he is teaching us and granting us keys to the kingdom of God so that we can be fulfilled in every area of our lives. In just a moment, we will share in communion together. But before we do so, I'd like to encourage everyone, after the service is done, there's certain announcements that are going to be made that want us to receive so that we are fully informed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you did not have opportunity to release unto God your tithe, offerings, vows, pledges, whatever commitments you may have made, you may do so now. Just release your offering unto the Lord with thanksgiving. May God breathe upon that which we have sown in faith. It's important to always give, no matter what time and how many times you've given in the day. When you have an opportunity to release something as an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord, and God blesses that. That is part of our consistency in continuing in the grace that God has bestowed upon us as His people. Praise the Lord. Does anyone else need communion elements? We are all served. Okay. Ask Mama to come. The God we serve is faithful. He's God and He cannot lie. He's not relying on my abilities to do what He needs to do. He's relying on Himself to manifest His glory in this day and in this time. And He calls us to the table of communion. And as we take of this element of communion, we are aligning ourselves and saying, let it be unto me according to thy word. May his word be fulfilled in all of our lives. May we receive the empowerment that causes his glory to be revealed at all times. Take of this body and eat. In Jesus' name, be healed.
As we take of this cup of blessing this morning, say, I receive.
I receive
the overtaking blessing.
The overtaking blessing.
I receive.
I receive
the commanded blessing.
The commanded blessing
in my life.
In my life.
In my city.
In my city.
In any country.
In any country.
Wherever I go.
Wherever I go.
I'm obedient.
I'm obedient
to the word of God.
To the word of God.
The commanded blessing.
The commanded blessing
is now in full operation.
It's now in full operation
in my life.
In my life.
If you believe this, say amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. We'll dismiss ourselves from those that are on Facebook and YouTube, Reddit, and other platforms at this time. We look forward to seeing you tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of the living God. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. See you later. the rest of you, you may